indicated that they would not be present for this meeting. At this point in the meeting, we have set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that were interested in providing comments and filled out one of the cards available at the receptionist desk, comments at this time. Seeing that no one wishes to speak, we will move forward on the agenda. We have one item on the agenda today. That is report and possible discussion on external audit plan fiscal year 2023 by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer, and Aaron Wortham of Baker Tilly.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. We have Aaron here, and he's in his fifth year with Baker Tilly on the FY23 pre-audit. So, and what we'll do is he'll walk through his presentation, and if you have any questions, be sure to ask him at that time. You will see this presentation again in the full board meeting. So I will turn it over to Aaron to start the presentation.
All right. Well, good morning, all. Again, Aaron Wortham, a lead audit partner on this year's financial statement audit, and I'm pleased to present the fiscal year 23 audit plan. So what I want to do first, just give you an overview of the presentation. I'll start by going through our engagement team, go through the scope of the audit, you know, what exactly is it that we do as part of our audit, what does it contain. Go through our audit timeline. We do have some required communications to you charged with governance. Touch on some areas of emphasis for this year's audit. And then lastly, round it out with our audit plan. Next slide, please. So the engagement team, I guess one of the good things are, you know, for the last 5 years, we've actually been able to keep our engagement team intact, which in this environment and in public accounting, I'd say, is pretty difficult to do. So we've been pleased to be able to do that. So myself as audit partner, we have Sarah Slaughter is our senior auditor, and then we have Ryan Tyler, who's our day-to-day audit manager. Next slide. So first thing I want to do is just kind of talk about the scope of our audit. So the first thing that we do is the audit of your financial statements are in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America. Basically, those are the requirements that we're required to follow as your audit firm. The next piece is we also provide what we call a government auditing standards opinion. That's our opinion on report of internal controls over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters. Those are additional requirements for our audit relative to our continuing professional education, the independence of our audit team, due care, supervision of the audit team, and quality control. And then lastly, if applicable, we would also have what we call a single audit, which is an audit on your federal awards. But this year, my understanding is we did not meet the threshold for having to have a single audit. So that one's actually not applicable this year. Next slide. So if we take a look at the timeline, we start our planning of field work in June. But what I will say is, especially if you were to talk to Matt and David, it definitely is a year-round audit process. And I swear, the minute we get done presenting last year's audit, we start taking a look at the upcoming audit, start taking a look at any accounting changes and things like that. But we formally begin our planning in June. We then did our preliminary field work in July. We have our required board planning presentation meeting today. We produce our final fieldwork in October and November, issue draft reports in December, and then, as you know, we present our final audit in January. Next slide, please. So a couple things I want to touch on, and these are required communications. One of the things that we talk about is the concept of materiality. So materiality really sets the groundwork for our audit. And what it is, we take a look at it qualitatively and quantitatively. So it's basically an amount or something large enough that if it were misstated or incorrect, it could lead to a change in the decisions of the users of the financial statements. So it needs to be substantially large. But that's an amount that we as auditors use and calculate during our planning, all of our testing, all of our risk assessment, things like that. One of the things that you folks should know is when we conduct the audit, we work for you, the governing body. We do not work for management. However, as part of our audit, we discuss with management, we work with management, and the assumption is that you folks are directing us to do so without limitation. So that's what we do. A couple other items on here. Outlined in our audit engagement letter, you'll see your role as management and then ours as auditors. You know, our biggest thing is to form an expression and an opinion on your financial statements, that they're materially stated. And then also we provide a report on other information, including your financial statements. If you take a look at your other comprehensive financial report, there's a ton of information in there. There's some items that are unaudited, but then other items, supplemental information, that we audit as well in relation to those statements. Next slide, please. A couple other required communications. Wanted to let you know that our audit team, and not only our team, but our firm, is independent with respect to your organization. One of the things is use of specialists. So one of the things that we do, if we used any specialists that we engage as part of our audit team, we would communicate those. And the only specialists that we use, we have a couple. One is our certified information systems auditor that works for Baker Tilly, that works on the IT portion of our engagement. And then also, if need be, we engage with a firm called Harvest that will do documentation and will confirm the fair values of investments and things like that. But those are the only specialists that we would use as part of our audit. We often get asked by governing bodies, you know, what are the significant risks to the audit this year? And there's always going to be two that we have, regardless of any audit engagement. One would be management override of controls, which makes sense, right? If you're going to do fraud, if you're going to do anything like that, management would have to override an internal control. And the biggest way they could do that would be with the posting of a journal entry to your financial statements to change the amounts. So our team spends a significant amount of time with journal entries. We use data analytics, we use artificial intelligence, we use things like that to take a look at those. We assess those journal entries. First of all, we get every journal entry posted in the entire year. We then use all the analytics, all these tools to sort out what are the higher risk type journal entries, and then that'll kick those out for we as auditors to take a look at. So we spend a lot of time there. And then the other significant risk that we have is improper revenue recognition due to fraud. And that makes sense, that we spend a lot of time taking a look at your income statement, taking a look at revenues, taking a look at cutoff, making sure that revenues are reported in the proper period, things like that. But those are the two significant risks we had this year, and those were the only two significant risks that we've identified so far.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And I don't know if this is an appropriate question,
sure,
or if I'm off the track, just
yeah,
tell me I'm off the track. Yeah. I'm fascinated by artificial intelligence, and so how do you use artificial intelligence, or what would be an application that you
sure
could say, this is how we use that?
Yeah, so, and when I say artificial intelligence, I'll kind of couple that with data analytics. So for instance, with the journal entries, we have a program, if you will, that will import all the journal entries that you folks have. And then it'll look at keys, and it'll sort the data, it'll look for keywords, it'll look for entries, and there's rules about, and I can't recall offhand if it's like divisible by three, but there's all these analytics that this program performs. Entries posted on weekends, entries posted round amounts, you know, things like that. Well, it'll sort all this data, and then we'll kick off and say, okay, you as auditors, focus your attention in this population of the journal entries, and we can ignore about 80% of them. How those programs are created, that I don't know. And I will say, going forward, this artificial intelligence and even data analytics will continue to take more and more of a role in our audit, which is good, right? And, you know, we often get questions, will it replace the auditor? I would say, no, it won't. But what it can do is it can really narrow our focus. So we as auditors spend the right amount of time in the right areas, as opposed to wasting a lot of time. Some of the other programs, for instance, so let's say Matt gives us a draft of your financial statements, and then we tie it all out, we trace it into your ledger, we test all that data, and then Matt makes changes. you know, changes, you know, whether it's, you know, small cosmetic changes or what have you. Well, the thought would be they give that back to us. Technically, we would need to relook at everything in there again, right, to make sure nothing got changed. Well, we have programs now that can take that version, scan it, and spit out and identify every instance of any change made in those reports, and that takes a minute or 2 minutes, whereas years past, we'd have to retie out everything. So those are the types of things that we look at. We can do similar things to your accounts receivable. You know, import that data. It can spit out questionable transactions. It can look for words like correction, error, you know, areas that could indicate fraud or just a simple correction. But again, it helps us do our job. But that's a good question. And you'll see more of it, you know, as the years go by.
Thank you.
Yep.
You mentioned IT. How does your IT play a role in
Sure. So I'm going to be talking about that in just a second, but I will talk about the IT, how it plays into internal controls and things like that, two slides from now. Next slide, please. So if we went back, I'd say probably going on 10 years now, the auditors, really the only communication they would have is they might have a pre-audit communication like this. They would definitely come and present the audit results at the end of the audit. But what the profession realized is they said, you know, we really need to have a two-way communication. So that's part of what this is, and that's part of what, you know, we're looking for here. As part of our audit engagement and planning into that engagement, we really want to know what you folks think are the significant risks. We definitely want to know, are you aware of fraud? Are you aware of any internal control breakdowns? Because then what we'll do is we'll take all that information and we'll incorporate that into our audit plan. And then we'll focus our testing in those areas specifically. So whether it can be in this meeting or if it's offline, certainly let me know if you do have any concerns or any things you think warrant additional attention. Part of what we do is we conduct risk interviews. We call these other SAS 99 interviews. But we'll reach out to various individuals throughout the organization to get their thoughts on fraud and fraud risks. So one of those, we're required to reach out every year and have those discussions with the audit chair, which I will be doing as part of our interim field work. But again, we definitely want your communication and input into our audit process. Next slide. So if we take a look at the audit, just some background here. 30% of what we do has to do with internal controls. And when we say internal controls, I would say most of what we look at is information technology, which makes sense because if you look at your control environment, almost everything is driven by information technology. Again, so much so, in fact, that we have a certified information systems auditor that goes about and conducts that testing as part of our audit process. So what we need to do is we need to take a look at all your major processes, whether it's revenues, receiving, billing, disbursements, CapEx, those type payroll, those types of things. We'll map out those processes, and then we will identify what significant controls need to be in place for each of those processes. We then test those controls for effectiveness. Areas that are not effective or there's breakdowns, we will test further. And then areas that are good, we do our standard testing. We don't have to do in-depth testing because, you know, we've proven the control environment works. But that's about 30%. 40% of what we do then is the substantive tests. That would be the nuts and bolts of our audit, if you will. That would be confirming your cash investments with outside parties. It would be taking a look at your plant additions and retirements and tracing those to the related invoices. Taking a look at payroll, you know, taking a look and make sure people are being paid at their authorized pay rates. That's the substantive test. And then the remaining 30% has to do with our planning of the audit engagement, and then the financial reporting and taking a look at your annual comprehensive financial report. Any questions on the areas of audit emphasis or what we're looking at? All right, next slide. And normally, if you folks did have a federal or state award, we would do additional procedures, very specific procedures relative to those for the federal government. But this year, that's not applicable. Next slide. Then a couple things. Just want to kind of outline, you know, what are the specifics that we do, and this is more for your reference, in our planning in interim fieldwork versus final and audit completion. But if you take a look at these things, not surprisingly, one of the first things we do is establish our materiality, which we talked about. You know, that really sets, I guess, sets all the basis for our testing. Internal controls, take a look at risks, update our permanent files. If you had any new debt issuances, we get those related documents. And then in final field work, that's where we do most of our tests. That's where we look at your balance sheet, cash investments, property, expenditures, take a look at your audited financial statements, those disclosures, things like that. And then finally, with the audit completion, one of the things that we do within 10 business days of when we date our audit, we reach out to your attorneys to have them give us their thoughts relative to litigation, things like that, in case there's any litigation or contingencies, things like that. We can put those within your financial statements. We also get a representation letter. That's the letter that your management team gives as part of the audit process. Talks about their thoughts regarding fraud, internal controls, accounting policies. So that's one of the last things we get as well. And then we have our meeting with you folks to present our audit results. But that pretty much soups to nuts is the audit process.
How do you, what's the process if there's a fraud or if you find something?
Sure.
It's not.
So the first thing we would do if there was fraud or indications of fraud is we would reach out to the audit committee chair and have those discussions. Now, one of the things we wouldn't want to sound any alarms if, unless we were pretty certain that there could be an issue. So we'd reach out and have those discussions, and everything after that we would do at your communication and direction. So you folks would know what we're doing and why. You would provide input. You would determine whether you needed a forensic audit, you know, those types of things. But just know, when I get to the final audit presentation, there will not be any surprises that if we ran into a significant issue or certainly fraud, we would reach out timely to have those discussions. But so far, you know, under our watch so far, we have not identified fraud. But if we did, we would have those discussions timely. And one thing to note, so if we take a look at this year's audit, for the most part, it was pretty straightforward comparatively to the prior year. If you went back to last year's audit, you recall we spent a significant amount of time with leases because there was a new accounting standards relative to leases. This year, there was a new accounting standards for subscription-based information technology arrangements. Better, you know, an easier title to think of it, cloud computing, you know, things like that, where you have a service for software that you're paying a monthly payment to. So I don't know if you asked Matt, probably the past year, year and a half, they've spent a ton of time identifying and coming up with a process to identify all the subscription-based information technology arrangements. So part of what we'll be doing, a big chunk of that, will be taking a look at that, taking a look at the process, taking a look at the calculations for the values, and that they got recorded properly within the financial statements. But that's really about, I'd say, the one different thing this year that's outside the norm. That was the big accounting change this year.
Why would that be different from any other process? Because they get a bill for that, right?
Right. So in years past, those types of things were just simply that. They were a bill. You would record that as an expense on a monthly basis, right? Now what they do is we need to identify what those are, and we need to put the full value of those contracts on your books as an asset and amortize those. Big change, you know, and put note disclosures so you can see, you know, the biggest thing is it's to add transparency, it's to let the reader know, oh, you have these agreements out there and you're making these payments and you have these future payments to be making, right? So it tells, so you're kind of locked into these types of things. But as Matt can tell you, coming up with those amounts takes a little bit of time. Identifying those contracts takes a little bit of time. The good news though is that accounting almost 100% mirrors the accounting for leases. Because if you think about it, it's really almost a software lease, if you will, to a certain extent. So, but that was the big change this year. So, if you want to go two slides forward, Oh. Well, at any rate, this year, our audit teams, we're definitely looking forward to David and Matt working with those folks again and their entire team. You know, they always do a great job being prepared. But with that, I'll open up to any questions anyone might have about the process or where we're going this year.
I do want to, Matt Willis is in the room here. He's my controller. And he is the heart and soul of my audit, so he's done a wonderful job.
Any other questions?
I've asked my questions.
It's a good question.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
very good questions.
This has nothing to do with financial audit.
Sure.
I don't even know if that, this is something you can answer. But, you know, one thing that we do at the bank is a truly IT security assessment. And I know, you know, in this reference, we're talking about internal controls, but at the bank and other organizations, you're looking at the vulnerability of IT systems. Do you know if that's anything?
Are we talking about cyber type stuff or?
Yeah, like, you know, someone taking over the network of Brazos River, and if our dams are controlled by, you know, if they're on the network and they could just go and, you know, key in something and open the dams and here comes the water. I mean, is that?
That is not covered in this audit.
Sure.
Is it? But it is covered in the security group, and that would be the Office of Security. And I think we've got a security meeting coming up in the next board group.
Okay.
And we'll be discussing that. But that'd be access to the facilities, and then basically, we have an unbelievably great IT team that on cyber. So they do an excellent job on that side of it. And that would protect us from the financial side as well.
So the Luke?
But we also have Robert Starnes, who's head of that group too, but we've got some great things going on in the next few months or so to protect even more stuff. So, but he just hired a new cyber guy, and he's excellent. So, that's a good question.
Yeah,
just but Aaron would not cover that area.
Right.
Unless it was found through fraud of some sort in that group there. Is that correct?
Yeah. We look at it, you know, if you look at the cyber universe, it's huge. We look at it from internal controls relative to all the way to the financial statements. So it's major, I would say it's processes based, right? Looking at the disbursements and whatnot. Cyber, although we may look at some high-level cyber, you know, do you have passwords, do you have these things, you know, data integrity, things like that. If you were to get a cyber audit or even do penetration testing and things like that, those are things that are far outside what we do.
For you, is this a pass-fail type of engagement in terms of the audit?
We'll get an opinion, and it'll be, you know, if it's opinion that's not qualified, right?
Clean opinion. Yep.
Clean opinion, then we're good. And but if there's some issues and stuff, you definitely would probably, the board would probably know about that.
Yeah.
Before there shouldn't be any surprises. So in January, when Aaron comes back, he'll give you the update on how well the audit went. And that there'll be calls made to Mike, and there'll be calls to Cynthia for, you know, identifying, see if there's any fraud or anything that's going on, as well as David Collins' work. So he does the full gamut of the management team groups and looking at that. So it's very smooth.
Very important.
Yeah. It's important. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
David, with some of the plans we have on the horizon, Allen's Creek, mainly, does the scope of the audit begin to change as those plans materialize, if we're going out to borrow or issue bonds or do anything like that?
It's just more transactions is what I'm thinking. It's the same. We should be following our same processes and procedures. If we're doing that, it's just more transactions. So But yeah, we've pretty much gone through the gamut of borrowing. I mean, in this board meeting, we're going to complete the borrowing aspect with Texas Water Development Board. So that'll just be more and more and more of those things, but just more transactions to look at. I don't see any change in processes we have with it.
And one of the things too that we can do, probably, you know, as we work with Matt and whatnot, we do audit a lot of your peers, whether it be LCRA or San Antonio River Authority. So some of the things that we can do, although not really part of the audit per se, is we can share best practices. We can be like, this is the note disclosure that these were authorities have. Here's what LCRA does, something you may want to consider in the future. Or for instance, give Matt examples of note disclosures. Here's what one of your peers have used when they implemented leases or what have you. So being a tight little community of river authorities and whatnot, sometimes it's good to see what your peers are doing. But most importantly, being able, luckily our team, this is all we do. We only work with utilities. We only work with river authorities, not only in Texas, but throughout the U.S. So I'd say part of the reason our audit engagements go pretty smoothly is back to this year-round audit process that we talk about, that we're able to share these things throughout the year. So when we get to the audit, it is, in fact, a pretty seamless process. And then David and Matt, they always do a great job when they have a question, reaching out to us on a timely basis to get their thoughts. So again, I'd say that this smooth audit process, it just doesn't happen. It's a dance that you perfect over time, right? That it took a couple of years to get here. Right now we got a great relationship and it works well going forward. So a lot of work done by that team, and they do a great job for us.
Questions? And a motion to adjourn at this time.
I'll make the
motion. Second. Perfect. All in favor? Further business before the committee, we'll adjourn the meeting at 9:24 a.m.